tomorrow. We'll continue to try every chance we get to hold the hearing. What I want to offer today is opportunity for anyone who is there to offer any testimony. We only have two committee members here at this time, so we don't have a quorum. You're free not to testify and come back another day, but I realize the inconvenience. We will have summaries of the testimony given by anyone for a future meeting when the bill comes up again. I just hate to inconvenience people over and over again. Is there anyone who wants to testify at this time on Senate Bill 35?
Thanks for coming down.
We're glad to be here.
Is Howard there or any of the other participants there in Anchorage?
Anchorage, please respond.
What'd you ask, Jack?
That's your long speech.
Yes, Howard's on his way.
Oh, thank you, James.
Thanks for your vote against Schroer. Boy, that was really
My name is Howard Thu. I've been a landlord for over 20 years and belong to the Landlord Association. In the last year, I've had damages to four apartments of over $8,000 from drug peddlers and liquor users. I think Bill number 35 will help our problem. That is the landlord problem. I hope it will become law. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Howard. Appreciate your testimony. Any questions from committee members? We've also been joined by Representative Boyer as well. Okay, no questions. The next person wants to testify?
Temporarily. What's this, Labor and Commerce?
Yes, indeed. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
No, very good. I'm Alice Brewer. We have a fourplex in Spinard, which we've had for quite some time, and I'm the executive secretary of the Alaska Landlord and Property Managers Association. Our association has 59 memberships locally, representing approximately 100 people. As an organization, we support this bill, and a number of our members have testified at the two Senate hearings on the bill. In regard to the five-day notice to tenants who are not paying their rent before the FED process has started, we need this because the vacancy rate here in Anchorage is approximately 5%. By giving the non-paying tenants a 10-day notice, such as at the present time, instead of 5 days as proposed in the bill, we're preventing people who can pay from getting an apartment. Tenants who are behind in the rent know it and should be making plans to either pay or move. It's unjust to expect the landlord to provide support for the non-paying tenant in the form of free rent. If the tenant stays now beyond the 10-day notice to pay or leave, it could take 15 or more days to force him out with an FED. In regard to the drug dealing part of the bill, down in Tacoma, Washington, my son's co-worker won tickets for a rock concert. He had to work and he gave a ticket to my son if he would take his wife, the co-worker's wife. They picked up two brothers on the way to the concert who were using crack cocaine, among other things. When my son left the car, the brothers stole it, kidnapped the girl, raped her, and killed her. They were caught when one of them robbed a bank in Yakima. I sat next to this girl's mother at the trial while the prosecutor showed pictures and described the injuries to her body. She was fighting for her life, and she lost. She left a baby. The ones who did this, the Nash brothers, got life in prison. As far as I'm concerned, drugs are death. Anything the legislature can do to help us as landlords to get drug dealers out of our apartments.
is next, if you could approach the mic and state your name, please.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Richard Ilgen. I would actually prefer to testify before the full committee. I've looked at the bill fairly extensively, and I'm an experienced, I'm an attorney working for a private firm, and I've had experience in representing both landlords and tenants, and I have a number of detailed comments about the bill, which I think have not been discussed to date. I would prefer to discuss those before the entire committee, if possible.
That'd be fine. It's certainly up to you. If you could just offer your most general assessment, it'd probably be useful to me personally, just the nature of your remarks. But if you want to save the detailed remarks, that's fine.
Okay, well, let me tell you, the general nature of my remarks are that I think the bill has a number of problems with it, not the least of which is that I think it assumes that tenants have an ability to present defenses, which they legitimately have under Alaska law and under common law, to non-payment of rent. By cutting 5 days out of the process, you're cutting out more time than a tenant actually has in terms of notification before even a trial. You're cutting out practically half of the time a tenant has in just in being able to prepare anything for a defense in this action. I also think it's really folly to think that this is really going to work in terms of really cutting down the time. What you have to bear in mind is that the notice to quit period, the 10-day period that presently exists under Alaska law, is notice to pay rent or quit. Not providing sufficient time for a tenant to move out is going to result in more tenants winding up by not moving out, forcing more actions in court, causing more delays, causing more costs to the court system, and actually causing more expense to landlords in many situations. My experience here representing both landlords and tenants is that most tenants would move out within the period if they have an opportunity to do so, if they simply cannot pay the rent and don't have a defense to it. Those tenants who do have a defense, either because there's perhaps retaliation involved, perhaps they're habitability problems, perhaps there's just simply a mistake. Those tenants need and deserve some ability to be able to prepare a defense. And right now, they basically have none. Alaska has one of the more onerous procedures for evictions of any state. Its time frames are very, very short and quick and don't really provide that opportunity. It takes more if there's a problem, just an error in terms of the accounting by the landlord or wrongful crediting, it can take more time for a tenant to obtain a copy of a canceled check from the bank than it can to get the tenant evicted and on the streets. As I understand, one of the purposes of this bill was to try and ensure that non-paying tenants are out within 30 days. And my experience is when an eviction is done properly, a tenant can be out of the premises within far less than 30 days under present Alaska law with the 10-day notice period. And in cutting that down to, in fact, the last one that I just handled was an eviction of a tenant, and the whole matter was handled in about 24 days.
Richard, can you hear me? This is David in Juneau.
Yes.
I think we're going to have to end the hearing now. I know you wanted to testify again at another opportunity. We're being called back onto the floor, so we don't have much choice. You will be able to attend if there's another opportunity?
If it's tomorrow morning, I have problems. If it's some other time, either tomorrow afternoon, Saturday morning, Sunday, Monday.
Yeah, at this point, I can't predict. We'll do our best through the teleconference system to keep people notified. I really do apologize. This often happens when, bills come over towards the end of the session. We're so busy in the floor, we have such jammed sessions, it's very hard for us to make any committee meetings stick, but we're going to continue to try. We'll notify all the teleconference sites once that occurred. Again, thank you everyone for coming today. Appreciate your efforts in testifying on this, and we will have a summary of all those comments for all committee members at the next meeting. Thank you, and the meeting is adjourned. Start the hearing of the Labor and Commerce Committee on some day or other, late in May, middle of May. The bill before us is Senate Bill 247, related plumbing and boiler standards. Seeing no large attendance, who would like to testify first today?
There was someone from the Department of Labor who was waiting down at the Westmark for a while, but I assured him about 10 minutes before you called it that probably we weren't going to be doing it tonight, and you probably can't make up as fast from the Westmark anyway. The department had no problems with the bill when I called them.
I do have in the packet a memorandum from the sponsor, Senator Elias, which states the legislation adopts 1991 edition of uniform plumbing codes and plumbing standards of the state.
Did we just have that upstairs? I'm sorry.
In addition, the bill upgrades the boiler code to allow automatic utility hot water heaters to be used for combined potable water space heating. Safety specs established by Department of Labor must be met or outlined in the legislation. We have another letter from the Association of Plumbers and Pipe Fitters, signed by Daryl Smith of April 23rd, urging passage of this bill. Letters from the building officials.
It was just appointed to
support it. Hey, what? He must have been with the governor. Alaska Municipal League, Harold Lenz, supporting the bill. NSTAR, supporting the bill. City Borough of Juneau, supporting the bill.
AML,
supporting the bill. The Vatican supports the bill. It's pretty extensive. Pretty broad list of supporters.
Are you just checking to see if we're missing?
Maybe we can put that one off. There isn't any. I don't know if anyone is opposed to it.
I heard from no one who's opposed to it, and I looked for people who might be opposed to it. In previous years, the plumbing code has been a controversial topic because of plastic pipe. However, this bill adopts the 1991 Uniform Plumbing Code, which no longer has the plastic pipe issue in it. There's no opposition we'd be able to find to this bill. The current plumbing code is from back in the 70s. We hadn't been able to adopt a new one because of various controversies involving the public plastic pipe issue. So the feeling is there's a need to update it, bring it 15 years kind of into the present, and also to allow for this type of system of using the hot water heaters to help heat your house. They didn't fit under this old plumbing code. It's Senator Elias' office is gone.
any committee comments?
Could you explain potable system? It's on page 3, line 5. Is that, I know it deals with water.
Potable just means drinkable.
Drinkable?
Drinkable water versus effluent water, wastewater. Any other questions? Oh, here we have Representative. We've been joined by Representative Iowa. We have Representative Iman, Representative Bruckman, Representative Parnell, Representative Finkelstein. We have before us Representative Item, Senate Bill 247, which is plumbing code. We haven't found any problems with it, so we're about to take a motion on it. Does anyone want to make a motion on the subject?
Move with individual recommendations.
The move with individual recommendations by Representative Parnell. This is on the plumbing bill. It's a relatively non-controversial bill. Is there objection to the motion? Hearing none, so adopted. We have with us Carl's. Carl, do you have any comments on the plumbing code?
No, I'm at all, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
By the way, while you're here, now, you can stay there. How about CS for Senate Bill 26? Let's get that before us. The sponsor, Senator Zaroff, is Sith. Carl Oles to come into this.
Yeah, for the record, Carl Oles is the staff of Senator Zaroff. Also, I might mention that Greg Winiger from the Department of Commerce may be joining us momentarily. He's the Southeast Regional Manager for the Commercial Fishing Loans Program.
So you better hurry. We only have about a minute left on this subject.
Okay. If anybody wants to ask him any questions. But anyway. Senate Bill 26 was something we worked on this last year. Last year it made its way through the process and went as far as House rules where it died upon adjournment. So we introduced, Senator Zaroff introduced it again this year. Basically what he's trying to get at here is he represents a rural constituency with commercial fishing as the probably most important way, means of people to earn their incomes and their livings. And one common constituent situation we deal with is we'll get calls from people who say they have a state loan purchase of a permit or a boat, and they've just received a notice that the state is repossessing their permit, and can Senator Zhuroff do something about it? And so we try to work with these situations as best we can. In dealing with a number of these over the years, we've tried to assess what's the nature of the problem. Is it always the individual's fault, or are there some things in state statute that are contributing to this problem? So after working with it for some time, we came up with a series of changes that could be made in state statute that we feel would help the borrowers. And we're taking two tacks on this. One would be to provide the borrowers with a little more notice that when they get into trouble or when their loan is getting into trouble, that they get some warning of that ahead of time, and so they can, people are aware of it and they can start taking action to try and solve their problem. And then the second thing we're trying to do is also give the department a little bit more flexibility when people do come in and say, realize they've had a problem, they want to get things straightened out again, want to enable the department to be able to respond to them. Right now there's some very specific deadlines in statute, and if you miss those, you're in very big trouble. That's basically the nature of the bill. I can go through the sections if you like, or answer
please,
any questions.
Please do. We've got about 3 minutes left. Representative Brockman.
This looks good to me because I believe it gives the debtor a chance to repay. In other words, if the person can pay, they will. And I think it saves the consumer and the state and everybody, unless there's something I'm missing. It's very reasonable.
With each of these bills before, if any committee member has a problem with this holdover, we aren't trying to rush it past anyone's objections. It's only if there's unanimous consent that will act.
Mr. Chairman, I speak to the bill. I commend the sponsor for introducing this bill, which is addressing the exact problems that I do have with my constituents in the district. Communications is a problem, mail system, et cetera. The reaction time that these fishermen who have made loans get into that problem, and I commend the sponsor for that.
Any other questions?
I just might mention in response to Representative Brockman that once you take out a loan, you have to pay it back. There's no way out of it.
It's too bad.
I would move this bill with individual recommendations.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so adopted. Senate Bill 187, failure to disclose sales of realties. Hoping for Representative Brockman to look this one over. It's relatively short.
For the record, my name is Ken Erickson. I'm staff for Senator Pierce. What this bill does is basically it solves a problem where there's a conflict between federal law and state law. Anyway, Senate Bill 187 was requested by the Alaska Association of Realtors in an effort to bring state law into compliance with federal law. Currently, under federal law, the seller or his agent directly or inadvertently discloses that a previous inhabitant of a property had AIDS, he is in violation of the Federal Fair Housing Act of 1968. The federal law's intent is to protect handicapped individuals from unfair housing discrimination. Under Alaska state tort law, the seller or his agent does not disclose material facts that affect the value of the property under negotiation, they can be sued for the difference in perceived value. Material fact is broadly defined by state courts to mean anything that affects the price a reasonable consumer is willing to pay for a product or service. Senate Bill 187 will make the following fact immaterial, and that is the disclosure of any information that is deemed discriminatory under the U.S. Fair Housing Act. Do you have any questions?
Any questions from any committee members?
Basically, that act does not allow people to discriminate against like race, religion.
AIDS.
And
I heard you say AIDS, and I sounded.
Recently, I believe it was 1989, I basically said AIDS people are protected.
Under the act.
Under that handicap.
Any other questions from any committee members?
Person Brown? I do have, on the health side of it, what kind of, realistically, what kind of exposure would a new tenant have moving into a building or into a room or a house or anything?
None that I know of. I don't think you can catch AIDS off of, like, doorknobs.
Well, I'm asking a serious question.
Okay.
I mean, has there been anything from the medical community that has indicated that it wouldn't pose a problem by not notifying these kind of people?
Well, if HUD basically says that, it's safe, I think it's been looked at. Certainly within here in Alaska, I don't think anyone has really talked about that.
So that particular point hasn't even been brought forward, I guess, is what you're saying. Nobody's thought to inquire about it?
Not here in Alaska. Essentially, what we're doing is we're tracking what federal law is doing, bringing Alaska law into compliance.
Well, I understand that, but I am interested in knowing if we have any difficulties, any way of verifying or corroborating that there is no lingering or effects that may be of a concern to people moving in. I understand the marketing dilemma. I'm sure Representative Truckman could appreciate that too, since she's a realtor. But I'm interested in knowing if there is any particular potential that might exist because of the presence of previous occupants. I won't just hold it up here, but what I would like to ask is if you could maybe search that out in between before it hits the floor.
I will do that, Representative.
Maybe you could give us an idea of what you're going after.
Mr. Chairman, I should disclose a conflict since I'm a licensed real estate agent in the state of Alaska. But on the other hand, I think this is protective of agents, especially since we're talking about fair housing. And AIDS, I appreciate your concern, but I think the medical community so far has let the public believe that doorknobs and those kinds of things aren't effective at this point.
Toilet seats or anything else? Who knows?
Any other questions or comments? What's the committee's wishes on Senate Bill 187?
Move with financial recommendations.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so adopted. The last bill we're going to try to do tonight, we're not going to have time. Senate Bill 262. Some of our members have concerns about it. We will hold it over until 9:30 tomorrow morning. And then 5 p.m. tomorrow, we're going to do use of rented property law violations. And I don't know if everyone should look through and see if there's anything else in our.
I'm missing judiciary tomorrow at 9 o'clock. I mean, unless we can get some things done tonight. So if you want to make a statement about this, I'll say that, in 4 years, there's only one wage bill that reduced overtime protections that ever moved from this committee. I think it's a very dangerous precedent. Overtime laws can be eroded piece by piece by piece by these kind of things, and I just think it's a really bad policy. The only exception we ever made, I think, was in this one trucking case that was part of an overall package, and we still had real serious concerns about that. I'm real concerned because if you see one of these show up, you're going to see a dozen of them. And if you show weakness on this issue, you're going to see so many people, and everyone will say, this is just a little thing. And you're also going to see organized labor, and I'm going to put this on the record, we're on tape here, is under a tremendous pressure in their negotiations with management. And they will come in and give up things that are good for the whole of the working people. In other words, to gain other concessions. Does happen, and it's real unfortunate, and it happens because of the tremendous pressure there on this in negotiations and management. And just because organized labor agrees to these kind of things doesn't make them a good idea. We should always think it's a greater good for the working people. And I do not think this isn't the greater good of the working people.
the things I promised committee members is that we'll try to hear bills at this late date, only if concerned members are there, so we'll hold that over till 5 p.m. Tomorrow, and we won't have a 9:30 meeting.
Mr. Chairman, are you saying you're holding this tomorrow?
Senate Bill 262 and Senate Bill 35.
Until what time?
5 p.m., which means flexible because...
Well, this is, you know, I concur with your comments, I worry.
We'll take it up. My hope is we can eventually find something acceptable, but that may not be possible, and you will be present when that occurs. Anything else coming for the committee? Or nothing?
You sure? You know what you want?
I don't think there's anything else.
I know. All night long, breakfast.